The new phased retirement plan is becoming part of the landscape at agencies across government. Just about every agency can offer it, but just because your agency offers phased retirement doesn't mean you automatically qualify. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. She is fielding questions from federal employees across the government about how to make phased retirement work best for you. What are some of the most common things that have surprised you, some of the things that people are asking you most often about phased retirement, Tammy?
Yeah, Francis. I do get a lot of questions about this, and there seems to be a lot of interest in allowing federal employees to do this. And, of course, we're waiting for the agencies to see how they come down on it, if they look at it as a benefit to retaining their senior employees or whether or not they worry about, you know, how it's going to actually be implemented and affect their staffing levels. But on the employee side, they're just trying to figure out, they're really trying to scrutinize it and figure out what's the catch. You know, it seems like they think there's a catch to it, that it couldn't possibly be good for me, or, you know, why should I do it? So they're just trying to figure out how it's going to work. And the problem is, we don't know exactly how it's going to work. We know a lot more than we knew before, but there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered.
With the final rule, we do have some sense of especially how benefits are going to be treated. And Mike Causey told me today that's what he gets the most feedback about, people wanting to know, how does this affect all of these things? Let's start with the thrift savings plan. Mm-hmm. What are the things that people should be thinking about how their TSP is going to be treated if they are able to go into phased retirement?
Yeah, so when an employee partially retires and is partially still working, the TSP is going to treat them as though they are still an employee, which means they can still contribute to the TSP out of that paycheck that they receive. They can still get the matching agency funds under the FERS system. If they would like to take money out of the TSP, it has to be done either through the loan program or as an in-service withdrawal, which is very limited. So they won't be able to fully access their TSP for withdrawal purposes until after retirement.
The issues with leave are a little bit confusing, because how fast do I accrue it if I'm only going to be working half as much and all those kinds of things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so annual leave and sick leave will be accrued just as if you were working part-time. So if you're working 20 hours, which is half-time, you'll earn half of the annual leave. And anybody who's going into phased retirement has to have a minimum of 20 years of service to be able to do it. So these would be employees who typically earn 8 hours of pay period and 4 hours of sick leave. So that's going to be cut in half, but they will still accrue leave during this period of time that they work in phased retirement.
They will get, you write, their lump sum payment for annual leave paid at the time the phased retiree enters full retirement. So some of the speculation that employees might try to use this as kind of a personalized buyout is mm-hmm. not going to work that way.
No, yeah, they won't be able to cash out their annual leave, because the employee has to go directly from their full-time position right into phased retirement. So there's no opportunity for that break in service where they could be paid for their annual leave. So any annual leave that they have on the books, they got to be sure they don't have more than the carryover limit, because they'll still be subject to the normal rules about the 240 that you can carry over to the new year. But then when they fully retire at the end of that phased retirement, they will get a lump sum payment, just as any other separated employee gets paid for their balance of unused annual leave.
I guess right behind the TSP and the leave issues, people want to know about insurance, about FEHBP, and they want to know about FEGLI, and whether they're going to be able to keep those up, how the premiums will be deducted, and all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of a good thing, because when an employee works on a regular part-time appointment, before we have, you know, some employees currently work part-time, they have to pick up more of the government share of the health benefit premium, and same thing for the basic life insurance. But when an employee moves from full career to phased retirement, this new provision, they're treated as if they're still a full-time employee as far as their health insurance goes. So the health premiums, the life insurance premiums, will still be deducted from their paycheck, and the agencies will still be responsible for the full government share of the contribution. So they'll be kind of treated nicely when it comes to health and life insurance while they're doing the phased retirement period.
We've alluded during this conversation, Tammy, that employees will be working about half the time that they worked before. That's not just a guess. That's one of the rules about phased retirement, right?
It is. Now, the original law that was passed 2 years ago gave leeway there. It didn't set a set schedule. But OPM, wanting to get into this, too many risks as far as having some issues with computing these benefits and processing these retirements, said, let's just start with a 50-50. So anybody who moves into this phased retirement will at least initially be restricted to 20 hours a week at work and half of their retirement benefits. So it's going to be a split right down the middle, 50-50.
So you have a couple of case studies in your latest piece in GovExec, and we'll post a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And those case studies, I think, are interesting because you can get a sense of, my situation is similar to or different from this for one reason or another. What are the things that you expect to see beyond the topics that you and I have talked about? What do you expect to be some of the things that you start getting feedback when you go to seminars and stuff? Do you expect it to be very intricate, specific questions, or do you expect them to be more broad, conceptual type questions?
Well, I actually think initially it's going to be very broad, and that's what we've been answering for the last 2 years, because we've had the law, and now we've got some further clarification of the law. So we've been answering broad questions related to, you know, what is this? Is it something we've had before? Why would I want to do it? So some very broad topics. But then I think as employees start to really consider them that they might do it, now we got to know the details. Now we got to know, you know, how does our sick leave work? How is our retirement going to be calculated? And they're going to want to know the nitty-gritty, because once you go into that, that's different than becoming fully retired. And it's not that you can't leave it. The other thing the law allowed for was some flexibility for someone who moves into phased retirement to actually go back to full-time work if that's not working out, or to end it and then fully retire. It doesn't have to necessarily last for 5 years. It might only be for 6 months. So there is some flexibility as far as how long the employee would remain in that program before they fully retire.
The program that you're on Federal News Radio, for your benefit, every Monday morning at 10, has done some great coverage on phased retirement. We have a lot of other phased retirement resources at federalnewsradio.com. The one element of phased retirement that I haven't heard people talk about much, Tammy, and I wonder if you've had much of a chance to think about it, is something that you and I have talked about relative to regular retirement, and that is whether a person is really ready to do it. It, not just do we have all our documents in order, but lifestyle-wise, I wonder if people have thought about that much yet.
Yeah, you know what? In my opinion, I really think that phased retirement is going to be best suited for someone who loves their job but just doesn't love it enough to do it 40 hours a week. And it's also someone who is ready to retire financially but maybe not quite ready to retire mentally or emotionally. So in other words, you know, I'm somebody who's coming to work 40 hours a week. I've got plenty of service to retire. I have enough money that I could retire, but I really like what I'm doing. I'm really making a difference, and I want to continue to do it. I just don't want to do it as much. And I think that's going to be the employee that really benefits from this new program, to allow them to kind of ease into it, see that retirement's really not all that scary, and eventually they can fully retire feeling a lot more confident.
What else should we be paying attention to as phased retirement rolls out? What should we be watching for from the HR offices at the agencies? Is there much more to come out of OPM, do you think? Or now that they've put the rules out, do you have a sense they're going to just say to the agencies, here, now you can go do this? What are the other things we should be watching, Tammy?
Yeah, well, the OPM now has put the ball in the agency's court.
Yeah.
The agencies now have until November 6th to come up with some pretty good guidelines, you know, as far as who's going to be able to do it within the agency, what are going to be the restrictions and limitations about it, you know, all the different details from within the agency standpoint, that they do have some leeway even to define what is mentoring, because part of this program requires that the employee spends 20% of the week mentoring other employees. So the agencies do have a lot of work to do. But at the same time, OPM still has to put out the forms so that somebody could actually apply for it, and they have to put out a little bit more definition of how the benefit's calculated, because we have the basic idea of it, but there's still a few details that we haven't seen that can relate to some employees who might be maybe in the civil service offset program, or maybe somebody who's you know, in a little slightly different situation than the average employee. So there's going to be a lot more examples we need to have to work from, and a lot more information. It's going to come from both sides before employees really feel comfortable with this new program. So I think the first few people that go into it are going to be the pioneers.